I don't know what death's gonna be like, but it has to be better than making a jump.
Looks like we might have us a live one here.
JB looked across the usual small anteroom toward the main control area of the Matrans unit. Over the past couple of years, Ryan and his companions had found themselves in a variety of different gateways. After the nuclear apocalypse of 2001 had put civilization onto the back burner for the next millennia, a number of secret military complexes, known as redoubts, had remained. Often deeply hidden, sometimes in remote areas of the country, less often within conurbations, the redoubts had been designated for a number of strategic military purposes. But the Holocaust had been so astonishingly brief and so mega-deadly that they had turned out worse than useless. It was like a man preparing for a flood by digging a deep hole to hide in, then dressing in a suit and helmet of lead. The redoubts that had survived contained the most highly secret of all of the Pentagon's crucible of arcane cunning, the ability to transfer a human being from one place to another in the space of a fraction of a second. Sadly, the ability to understand the functional capability of the matter transmitter units had been lost in the freezing dark aftermath of the war. If the protracted deaths of most of humanity can properly be called a war. All Ryan knew was that you got into the chamber and shut the door, and after a great deal of mental and physical discomfort, you found yourself elsewhere. The only tiny piece of knowledge that he'd also learned was that there was sometimes a control button that you could press, marked LD, for last destination, that would return you to the place from whence you last made a jump. Ryan's nightmare fear when they'd begun making the churning jumps had been that they'd eventually end up in one of the many redoubts that had been totally destroyed by direct missile hits, or as a result of the massive earthquakes and volcanoes that had remolded the map of the United States into the sparse atlas of Deathlands. The idea of being reconstituted into a morass of mud or buried in brittle shards of torn granite had been truly appalling. But there was obviously, Ryan had come to realize, some sort of built-in safeguard designed specifically to prevent anything like that happening. If a receiving gateway was seriously damaged or destroyed, then transportation wouldn't take place. The one thing they still had no way of controlling was their destination. All the instructions and the coding manuals had been destroyed, either immediately after the nuking began, or by the ravages of time. You shut the door and went someplace else. That was all they knew. But there was a good reason for JB's earlier startled comment. With only a small percentage of exceptions, every redoubt they'd ever jumped into had been totally evacuated and swept clear. It was rare to find even so much as a scrap of crumpled paper under a broken chair. But this redoubt looked like it might just turn out to be different. Every Matrans chamber opened into a small room. Here, it held a table and two plastic stools, colored a dull orange. There was a line of shelves with several packages, cans, and containers. A couple of paperback novels lay on the table, one folded back, as though its reader had just slipped out for a moment and would return at any second. Ryan pointed to the larger control area beyond, motioning to JB to check it out. The armorer, in turn, motioned to Mildred, who held her target pistol cocked and ready. The two of them slipped through, while Ryan and Christy covered them.
Nobody. Sector's safe shut.
JB's words meant that everyone could relax for a while. Blasters were holstered. In the relatively mild temperature, coats were thrown open.
Look around, but make sure you watch out. Could be all kinds of booby traps left around.
JB shook his head slowly.
Looks to me like these people got out in a serious hurry. Maybe they started some sort of orderly evacuation, and then something happened to screw up the plans. Doubt there'll be any tricks left. But we'll still make sure to be real careful.
Abe had gone to the shelves in the anteroom.
What the...
He glanced down at his boot and lifted his foot.
Oh, looks like the Roaches got here first. A lot of dead little boogers everywhere.
Mildred joined Abe, stooping and picking up one of the dusty carapaces. She examined the cockroach carefully, then dusted it off her palm.
I'm no expert on dead cockroaches, but I'd be surprised if it had been alive within the last 70 or 80 years. There was hardly anything left of it.
Abe started reading the labels on the shelf.
Coffee sub, milk sub, tomato soup, what's that word, Mildred?
Granules. Fancy name for big bits of flavor-packed powder.
Can we eat any of it?
Mildred reached out for a blue and white packet,
This was a freeze-dried huckleberry reconstituted drink. It claims it's as fresh as tomorrow's sunrise and gives you the up-and-walking good bounce of a Colorado dawning in the Rockies.
She looked at it more carefully, angling it toward the overhead strip lighting to make out the small faded print.
Sounds good.
Abe grinned, licking his lips and wiping the back of his hand over his long mustache.
I'll try that.
I wouldn't if I were you.
Why not?
The missing ingredient is anything that's been within 100 miles of a huckleberry. Plenty of additives, coloring agents, preservatives, and gelling reactants.
Oh.
Mildred patted Abe on the shoulder.
Don't worry about it. It's also got a sell-by date of June 2003.
She dropped it to the floor, where a small pile of pale pink powder drifted lazily out. Dean was fascinated by the foam cups that littered the working surfaces of the desks and consoles, peering into each at the crusted black residue, as though he somehow expected to come across one that was still steaming hot and delicious, with cream and sugar.
They really just walked off and left them like this, Dad?
Looks that way, son. Just walked off.
Christy sat in one of the chromed swivel chairs and put her boots up on the next seat along. She leaned back and smiled at Ryan.
Must have been sort of strange working here in a redoubt.
Guess so.
Can't imagine it. I heard the stories and seen the old mags. You worked from 9 until 5 and you were checked in and out. Went back to your safe little house with hot water and light and instant food. I sort of envy them.
They died.
We all die, Ryan. At least they got a chance to live.
Doc had gone to the books. Ryan joined him and picked up the one folded open on the table.
Give us a reading from the past, lover.
Ryan didn't bother to look at the cover and started reading.
Her body bore a languorous sheen of ecstatic sweat, turning the very core of her being into a love-ready delight. She gazed fondly at the sticky mixture that coated his erect... Oh, forget it. Crap porno.
He chucked it back onto the table, where its dried pages fluttered and crumbled into tiny white flakes.
Shame about that diary on the space station. Sex book like that is sort of a comment on what vanished, isn't it?
Ryan stepped through into the control room, pausing in front of the large sealed sector. The green lever was down in the closed position. Ryan lay his hand on the control.
Let's go take a walk into yesterday.
On the wall opposite, there was a massive piece of graffiti, daubed in yellow on the rough concrete surface. Thick gobs of paint had streaked and run down to the floor, where it lay in wrinkled, congealed lumps. The letters were 6 feet high. So long, Chi-Town. A little farther up the passage was, Goodbye, Windy City.
Chicago! Looks as though we've arrived in that toddling town.
Good old Chi-Town.
They walked on, everything functioning. Lights, set cameras, air conditioning. As was often the case, the Matran section of the rambling complex was situated in a distant corner, with all sorts of threatening warnings. Entry barred to all but B-15 and above. Carry your pass at all times. You will have to show it. The corridor curved to the left and ended in a wall of blank rock.
We can go the other way.
Sounds like a good idea.
Ryan turned to the rest of the group.
We'll try the other way.
They reached a large illuminated map set at the center of an intersection. 3 other passages, slightly less wide, forked off in different directions. There was also a bank of elevators. The 7 companions gathered around the illuminated plan. The first thing they noticed was that most of the sections had been amended. Nearly all the regions on the 3-dimensional display had been altered. The word cleared had been superimposed over them.
Looks like evac was well on the way after all.
The Mat-Trans unit isn't shown as having been cleared.
Christy pointed at the area way off to the right. Ryan nodded.
Could be they left that deliberately till close to the end.
Armaments, food, janitors, commissary, medical and pharmacy, comps, electricians, housekeeping, dormitories, eateries, stores, transport spares, mechanics, kitchens, techno, clothing, communications, records, hospital, maintenance, library, retrieval, security, internal, security, external. The list was endless, and all were marked with a faint overtyping. Cleared.
That bit doesn't say cleared.
Dean pointed to a light green area near the top level, by one of the marked entrances.
It's the outer garaging facility. Could be that'd be one of the last the evac squad would touch.